Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program, The Spiritual Breakfast. And today, as you know, Mufti Muhammad Aku Saab Damat Barakatuhu will be with us. Let's welcome our Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, how are you,
Mufti Saab? Alhamdulillah, how are you, Mufti Saab?
Allah's father, Allah's father, man. Alhamdulillah.
Where is Mufti Saab traveling to?
We are around, Allah, shukr.
Mufti Saab, today, what's on the menu for us?
Inshallah, this month has come in, Rabiul Akhir, and there are so many historical events that happened in our history, so we thought we'd just discuss a little bit of that.
Mufti Saab can begin, inshallah.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. The one interesting event, this is Rabi'ul Akhir. It's also called Rabi'ul Thani, but the preferred word is Akhir, because linguistically, when you say Thani, it denotes that there could be Thalith, but there isn't Rabi'ul Thalith. So this, as far as season is concerned, is like after Rabi'ul Awwal. So this is called Rabi'ul Akhir, the last Rabi', and where Rabi' comes to an end. So that's why Rabi'ul Akhir. Now, there's quite a few interesting events that took place. One is an interesting event that happened called Ghazwatu Najd. This happened the fourth year after Hijrah, in this month, Rabi'ul Akhir, where there were people from this area, Najd, and they were coming into Medina. They were attacking in the outskirts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sahaba radiallahu anhum there and to strive, and alhamdulillah, they defeated them. Then, in this month, Hazrat Ukasha radiallahu anhu, was sent to an area called Ghimr, right? But famous in Rabi'ul Akhir is Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu. Now, this Sahabi was named Muhammad. We discussed how the name Muhammad was very rare at the time. But before the advent of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was named Muhammad because his father and others learned about the history and the prophecies concerning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's how he was named, Muhammad bin Maslama. It was Rabi'ul Akhir where Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama was sent to an area called Qissa in the lands of the Banu Sa'labah tribe. There were 10 of them. But this area, they rallied 100 men that surrounded these Sahaba radiallahu anhum and ended them off. The only one who was badly wounded and they thought he had passed on was Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu. But he didn't pass away. He still lived thereafter. Afterwards, when he regained consciousness, he found that all his companions and his friends have all passed on. And it was only him. Anyway, he made his way back to Medina Munawwara. And he was quite badly saddened. So Allah Ta'ala didn't decree his death. And that's a very pertinent lesson for us, that we will pass away exactly when Allah wants us to pass away. Like we heard in the surah this morning, in the second rak'ah of Fajr, which is the sunnah to read, Alif Lam Mim Sajda, in the second rak'ah of Dahab, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Everything is in accordance to Allah's will, and Allah is in control. And as believers, we have to learn to see every khayr and every happen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Muhammad bin Maslama radiallahu anhu, I want to mention one two incidents of his life. One day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with someone, a very handsome person, and they were conversing concerning something very pertinent. So Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama went by. And when he walked past, he didn't disturb Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a discussion with someone. And this was his respect. He didn't want to disturb. So what he did was, he went away. Afterwards, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and asked him, "Oh Muhammad, do you know who was that talking to me?" He said, "Oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I really don't know." And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Why didn't you come and greet?" He said, "Oh Allah's Nabi, I didn't want to disturb you." So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "That was Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. And you know, what was he talking about?" So Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama says, "You know, I don't know what he was talking about, but it seems something very pertinent." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You know, he was discussing the importance of the neighbor." Oh Allah's Nabi, he was talking to you for so long about the neighbor. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he kept on emphasizing the right of the neighbor so much. I even thought maybe there could be an injunction that one day the neighbor will inherit. So imagine the value of the neighbor in our deen. And this would be one sentiment I want to share with the Ummah today, that let's take care of our neighbors. Let's see to the rights of our neighbors. Let's make sure we don't cause taklif to our neighbor. And also, take it one step further. Let's make ikram of the neighbor, Muslim and non-Muslim. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhuma, had a Jewish neighbor. And he would always make ikram of the neighbor. Whenever there was something nice, something special, at times he wouldn't eat and say, did you all send for the neighbor? So that is one lesson. And through this, as Muslims, let's make the intention that through this, may Allah give them hidayah. Anyway, that was Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama. Something else interesting about Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama, radiallahu anhu, is he was so close to Hazrat Umar, radiallahu anhu. When Hazrat Umar wanted any task fulfilled and carried out to the T, he would send Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama, radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama was sent to Kufa. Why? Because the governor of Kufa was Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Sa'd was a very great Sahabi. Hazrat Sa'd didn't do anything wrong. But Hazrat Umar, radiallahu anhu's level of piety and his strictness with his governors was of a very, very high level. He didn't want his governor to even have a door outside his office. Because Hazrat Umar felt, when Allah gives you a position or status of authority, you must be available to the masses. When Hazrat Umar heard Kar Guzari, that Hazrat Sa'd has a structure where there's a door, and it's quite, you know, a big structure, he sent Muhammad bin Maslama to burn down the door. Anyway, Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama came, he fulfilled the task. Hazrat Sa'd heard that Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama came, he rushed to him, he invited him, come. Whatever you did, Khalifa, Hazrat Khalifa told you to do it, fine. But come, you my brother, I want to make your ikram. He said, no, I've come on this errand and I return. And he returned to Hazrat Umar. And what he ate on that trip was from the bark of a tree, of the trees. And when he returned, he was pale. And it's a long journey. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu commended Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama that amazing is that person who takes the task of his amir seriously, that he does as he's supposed to do. He doesn't take it and convey it as though it's not also from him, and he just, you know, does it by the way and becomes very light-hearted at it. But in this scenario, we have to learn something about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Sa'd didn't do anything wrong, but that was the level of the piety and the rules of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu with all his governors. That's why when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was departing from this world, and he appointed six candidates who could be the next Khalifa after him. And he wanted the six to make Mashura, namely Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali, radiallahu anhuma, then Hazrat Zubair and Hazrat Talha, radiallahu anhuma, then Hazrat Abdurrahman and Hazrat Sa'd, radiallahu anhum. He said, even if Hazrat Sa'd becomes the Khalifa, mashallah, it's from Allah and there's khair in it, because I did not depose him due to any betrayal or falling short on his part. So Hazrat Umar clarified that. It wasn't any wrong of Hazrat Sa'd. It was the level of the piety and the rules of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anyway, that was how Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama would get issues solved and resolved. And also, subhanallah, when the Ummah was fighting at one stage in our history, interesting about Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu, he did not participate. He never ever fought against a Muslim. He carried on serving Allah's deen, but he never ever got involved in fitna. He said, we strove in Allah's way to remove fitna. And now, as Muslims, we can fight each other never ever. That was Among this category of Sahaba radiallahu anhum who did this year was Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu ta'ala. And what a great Sahabi. There were others, Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, on one occasion he was in the battle. And when he was in this expedition, when the report was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, "Oh Allah's Nabi," Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi wanted details of the expedition. "I conquered this person in the battlefield and I was defeating him, and it was a powerful duel. And afterwards, I dropped him and I was about to finish him off, and then he read the kalima." So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi asked him, "Usama, what you did?" He said, "Oh Allah's Nabi, he just did it just to save himself, because he knew he was now, it now ended." Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, "You killed him after he read La ilaha illallah. What will you do, Usama, when La ilaha illallah comes on judgment day?" He saw from there that never ever can Muslims fight with Muslims. Anyway, that was all. He was also in that list. There's another Muhammad who's very interesting, and we can learn a very interesting lesson from him. And that is the son of Hazrat Ali رضي الله عنه. Hazrat Ali رضي الله عنه asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's permission. "Oh Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if Allah gives me a son after you, can I name him after you? And can I give him an appellation like yours?" Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave that permission. And then Hazrat Fatima, our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, departed from this transitory world. And 6 months later, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha departed. But she gave wasiya that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu should marry her sister's daughter. And that was Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha had a daughter, Hazrat Umama. So on Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha's request, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu wedded the granddaughter of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umama bint Abil As. Umama, the daughter of Abu al-As. Who was Abu al-As? Abu al-As ibn Rabi' radiallahu anhu, he was the son of Hazrat Khadija's sister, Hazrat Khadija binti Khuwaylid, the blessed wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and among the greatest of the women of the world, Hazrat Khadija binti Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. She had a sister, Hala binti Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, a great sahabiyah. When she visited Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the family, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, "Oh, this is definitely the knock of Khadija radiallahu anha." Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha sacrifices and what she did for Allah's deen, and how she stood for Allah's deen, and how she defended Allah's deen, and how she strove for Allah, backing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through thick and thin. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever forgot that. From day one, Hazrat Khadija was there for him, supporting him, in the da'wat with him, in striving for Allah with him, in the sacrifices with him. And her wealth and her position and her status was all contributed to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, his daughter was Umama. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu wedded her. Afterwards, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu wedded a tabi'iyya by the name of Khawla. Khawla binti Ja'far ibn Qais from the Banu Hanifa clan. And from there, Allah blessed him with a son who he named Muhammad. Muhammad, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu. But he was known as Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya in history, a great tabi'i, one of the greatest, and a great scholar of hadith, a great man of Allah, such a high-ranking person in our history. But Muhammad bin Hanafiyya, rahimahullah, was so strong. He was named Ibn al-Hanafiyya to differentiate him from the daughters of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, because they were from the sons of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, because Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha's children are the noblest, because they are the grandchildren of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's children from his other wives, after Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, would also be from the noblest family, because they also come from Ali radiallahu anhu, who's the son of Abu Talib, who's the son of Abdul Muttalib. But obviously the noblest would be Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha's children. So anyway, Muhammad bin Hanafiyya was obviously close to his brothers, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. They were so close and he loved them. And there's one amazing incident where they asked him, "You know, your father, he loves Hazrat Hassan and Hussein so much." So Hazrat Muhammad said, "See, I'm like my father's hands, and Hazrat Hassan and Hussein are his eyes. So you use your hands to protect your eyes." Because Hazrat Muhammad bin Hanafiyya, he didn't feel bad. He knew that these are the grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are very special. So Muhammad bin Hanafiyya says, "I was with my father in this expedition called Siffin. And what happened then was, a voice came where someone said these words, and I couldn't see who was saying it. But these words had such a profound effect on me. And it was loud and it was clear. And subhanAllah, what happened then was, from there I realized that how can I do this? How can I be on one side when there's Muslims on the other side? So he said that I heard this voice, Ya ma'ashara al-Muslimin, O Muslims, Allah, Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah, O Muslims. Man lil-nisa'i wal-wildan, who will take care of our women and children? Who will take care of the deen, wal-a'rad, and the honor of Muslims? Man lil-rumi wal-daylam, who will take Islam to the Romans and the Daylamis? O Muslims, Allah, Allah, do not fight each other. He said, I heard these words. I tried to see where it's coming from. But from the time I heard those words, I took a pledge that I'll never raise a sword against a Muslim after that day. He says, then my father, Hazrat Ali, was shaheed by sinful hands of the Rahman ibn Muljim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day said to Hazrat Ali, you know, from the past people, who's most wretched? He said, you tell us, oh Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Aqirun Naqa, the man who hamstrung the camel of Hazrat, the man who hamstrung the camel of Hazrat Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. The man who hamstrung the camel of Hazrat Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. And do you know who's the most wretched of the last people? Wallah, Nabi, you tell us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who kills you. And imagine, the person who assassinated Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was a man who claimed to be a Muslim, Abdul Rahman bin Muljim al-Muradi. Anyway, when Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was shaheed, then Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu was made the Khalifa. But Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu led the Muslim Ummah for 6 months, from Ramadan right till Rabi'ul Awwal. And in Rabi'ul Awwal, he went to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, where they met in an area in Palestine, in Palestine, and he handed over. Now, Hazrat Hassan could have had, because he had the majority of the Ummah with him. But he said, why must the Muslims fight? He handed over Khilafah to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, because he saw Hazrat Muawiyah suitable and very, very appropriate and a suitable candidate to preserve and protect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Hazrat Muhammad bin Hanafiya said, as soon as I saw this, I went to Hazrat Muawiyah and I also took the bay'ah, because the ummah was united. Anyway, he was very close to Hazrat Muawiyah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's son, very close to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, the Roman emperor writes a letter to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that can't you and I have a good relationship? And sometimes there's something interesting in my land, I'll show you. And sometimes there's something interesting that you all have, you show me. So Hazrat Muawiyah agreed. So on one occasion, the Roman emperor sent two macho men. One, the tallest man in Rome, and the other, the strongest man in Rome. And they both come to the capital of the Muslim world at that time, called Sham, Damascus. So in that, when these two arrived, Hazrat, the letter was presented to the emperor, to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that do you all have people of such stature and strength and height in your lands? So Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was making mashura, what should we do? So he consulted with Amr ibn al-As, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. He says, the tallest we have, Hazrat Amr said, that we have Qais bin Sa'ad bin Ubadah, a very generous Sahabi's son. In the time where delegations of Muslims and non-Muslims were coming to Medina Munawwara in the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th year after Hijrah, there were so many hundreds of people coming, sometimes on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. And Sahaba used to take Allah's guests home. What an amazing quality of hospitality. Different Sahaba took different amounts. Even Sahaba who had little took people home, taught them deen, shared with them their food, opened their hearts to them. And after Fajr, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would take kar guzari and report back from the new Muslims. So Hazrat Sa'ad bin Ubadah used to take 70 people home every day. This was his son. His son was very, very tall, very generous and very tall. So Hazrat Amr said, we got the tallest. What about the strongest? Hazrat Muawiyah says, no, I have the strongest. He says, who? He says, Muhammad bin Hanafiya. He says, Where such a righteous, pious man will come for such a thing to prove our strength to the Romans? He'll never come for something like this. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says, see, you don't know. Muhammad bin Hanafiya is such a personality. Anything that has the honor of Islam in it, and the honor of Islam to be at stake, he is ready to give forward and contribute for the honor of Islam. Wherever there's izzah of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad, the son of Hazrat Ali, is ready. He wrote to him, Hazrat Muhammad bin Hanafiya came happily. Anyway, there was this sort of competition where many people noticed this, and in that, Hazrat Qais takes out his lower izar. Obviously, he had his kurta on, but he's under his izar, his pants. He takes it out, and he hands it over to the Roman individual who came, the tall citizen. When he tried to put Hazrat Qais's pants on, just for you to understand the height, that man was drowning in the pants of Hazrat Qais. That's how tall was Hazrat Qais bin Sa'd bin Ubadah. He was one of the tallest Sahaba kiram, radiallahu anhu, himself, and another very tall Sahabi was Hazrat Umar's nephew. Hazrat Zayd bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, had a son who was very tiny when he was born. His grandfather, Abu Lubaba bin Abdul Munzir, brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. He became the tallest sahabi, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Zayd bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. When he grew, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu wedded his brother's son to his daughter. That's why he took care of his brother's children, because his brother passed on before him. And this saddened Hazrat Umar severely. In this, what happens to the second part of the contest? So, the contest was going like this, that the one has to sit and the other stands. And the one that's standing must try to pull the one sitting up. And the one sitting must try to pull the one standing down. And afterwards we'll try the other way around. So that man said, okay, I'll sit. Hazrat Muhammad stands and he pulls him up with such vigor and strength that the man's hand got dislocated. That was the strongest man in the Roman Empire. So anyway, that was izzah for Islam. So that's interesting about Muhammad bin Hanafiya. But then what happened was, as time went by, after Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, there were different khalifas, many from the Umayyad dynasty. And then it so happened that the khilafah went, or was going for a little while, into Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, who was ruling the Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara area, region. But what happened then was, Abdul Malik bin Marwan, who also comes from the Banu Umayyah, he was also claiming Khilafah. And now there's two. So now when there's two people claiming Khilafah, Hazrat Muhammad bin Hanafiya lived in an area not far from Makkah, Mukarramah. And he didn't get involved in this fitna. He carried on serving Allah's deen, striving for Allah, trying to make Allah happy, teaching people, doing dawah to Allah. So Abdullah bin Zubayr asked him, will you take bay'ah? He said, see, if the ummah is united on you, then I will. Now that you also ruling half and he's also ruling half, then I can't. You know, he looked at he explained to us Abdullah bin Zubayr nicely. So at first, Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubayr accepted it. Afterwards, Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubayr says, you know, if you're not going to give the bay'ah, then I'm going to really, you know, put an end to you. You can't do this. And then a lot of pressure was put on Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, because many wanted him because of a man of such position. But he told Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubayr, I'm not involved in politics. I don't want anything to do with this. I guess this is my reason. I can't. And I know if I'm going to be under you, there's going to be battles. And if it's going to be fighting Muslims, I will never do so. And he always remembered those words where he heard, where Allah blessed him. Ya ma'ashara al-Muslimin. Allah, Allah. Ya ma'ashara al-Muslimin. Man lil-nisa'i wal-wildan. Man lil-dini wal-a'raab. Man lil-rumi wal-daylam. That, oh Muslims, fear Allah. Who will take care of our women and our children if we're going to fight each other? Who will preserve the deen? Who will preserve the honor of Muslims? Who will take Islam to the Romans and the Daylams and the non-Muslims of the world? Who will strive for Allah if we're going to be wasting our energies and fighting against each other? The work we're supposed to be doing, we won't do if we're going to be attacking each other. He says, these words never left me. So he said to Abdullah bin Zubair, you know, I have no interest in politics or in rulership. When the Ummah unites on you, I'll give you the bay'ah. Oh, Abdul Malik bin Marwan, I will do that. But I will not get involved in either, nor am I speaking to and fro. Anyway, after some time, Abdullah bin Zubair didn't accept it. He said, no, you have to. Otherwise, this whole area you're staying in will be blazed. Anyway, in that, Abdul Malik bin Marwan heard about this, that there was a lot of pressure on Muhammad bin Hanafiya. So he wrote a letter to him saying that, you know, I heard of what you are going through. And if you finding this difficult, you can come to our region. The area is under our jurisdiction. You can choose where you want to stay. I will not stop you. And whatever you want, you know, you can do. He says, when the Ummah is united, then I'll give bay'ah to the one. He says, okay, we'll accept that also, but you come. And then he chose one little town in one of the outskirts. And because of his nature, he would strive for Allah, do da'wah, make effort of Allah's deen, and so forth and so forth. But after some time, few people whispered to Abdul Malik bin Marwan that, you know, this is not acceptable. This man hasn't given the bay'ah yet, and he's staying in this region, so he writes to him. So Muhammad ibn Hanafiya responds. He says, see, I explained to you, and you called me. I'm not involved in any of the politics. When the Ummah is united on one, both of y'all are suitable candidates, then I will. Just allow me to stay. And he responded, he says, if you want to stay, you have to take the bay'ah. He says, okay, then I will move on. And then he moves on to another region where he... So this was a sacrifice that he went through repeatedly, Allahu Akbar. And after some time, when the Ummah was then united on Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he wrote his bay'ah to him. And now the Ummah is united on you. Alhamdulillah, I accept and I give you my bay'ah, and so forth and so forth. Abdul Malik accepted it. And that's how. So we learned this lesson from him also, alhamdulillah, that do Allah's work, strive for Allah's sake. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to please him. Allah give us tawfiq to obey him. This is also Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, the son of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to use our energies positively. Allah give us tawfiq to love our mashayikh. Allah give us tawfiq to love the pious. Allah give us tawfiq to love the righteous. Allah give us tawfiq to live with iman. Allah give us tawfiq to die with iman. We have to worry about our iman. And our elders tell us all the time, worry for iman. These people, Allah save us. Imagine these people from prominent homes. They're leaving iman, they're leaving deen. That doesn't happen overnight. But when we stop the effort of deen, batil and falsehood will creep in. And then Allah save us. Allah save our children from irtidad. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabi
wa Ameen, ameen. Mufti Sahib, jazakumullah khairan for that beneficial lesson. Make dua for us as well.
Ameen. Rabbi amari liye. Barakallahu feekum for the opportunity.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.